ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। First of all, thank you to everyone for coming. There's no festival without attendees. We have devotees coming from many parts of India, especially from here, Tamil Nadu. Large contingent from Telangana, a large contingent from Gujarat, devotees from different parts of the world. We have quite a large group from Russia. Did all the Russian devotees come? Some of them are here. But I saw a bigger group last night. From Croatia, Miro has come. Our resident devotees from Slovenia are here. Bhagavat Anand came from London in England. And then from America, some devotees came from Dubai, Kuwait, Sri Lanka, Singapore. Anyone came from Nepal? Doesn't seem like it. Australia? Anyone? No. Okay. So, thank you all for coming. Switzerland? Any Swiss? Did you see Vasudev? Some came from Switzerland? No. Okay. And usually we say thanks at the end of the festival when half the devotees have already left. But anyway, when we say thank you, most of the devotees who we're saying thank you to are not here because we're thanking them for being in the kitchen, for making arrangements, which they're running around and doing, for donating. For so many services are there. Sound system. There's so many things. Anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is appreciated. As I said, we're here to glorify Krishna. You might think, well, we're here to glorify Bhakti Vikas Swami. Well, that's also true, but we should remember that the center is Krishna. Maybe the most famous verse in our ISKCON concerning the spiritual master is yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado yasya aprasada nagati katopi dhyam stubhams tasya yashastri sandhyam vande guru sri charanarvindam. Offering respect at the lotus feet of the guru by whose mercy or whose pleasure Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is pleased, and by whose non-pleasure or displeasure, nagati katopi, whatever else we may do, it will not help us. Therefore, we meditate and glorify him three times a day. That's done in the chanting the what is called the Guru Gayatri mantras, or anyway may be done. So this emphasis on pleasing the Guru, because that will please Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada, who is Jagat Guru, the Guru of all the universe, he's capable, fit to guide everyone in the universe, although not everyone in the universe has the fortune of knowing that or not knowing that. Keho mane, keho na mane, shabtar dash. Everyone, some recognize it and some don't recognize it, but everyone is his servant. This is stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then we should think, how can we please Srila Prabhupada? You may be thinking how you can please me, but it should be non-different. If there's any difference between pleasing me and Srila Prabhupada, then there's a problem. Then I'm not fit to be here at all. And I'm only fit to be here because Srila Prabhupada gave the order to his disciples, the natural order in disciplic succession, that the just like child is the father of man, the child of today is the father or mother of tomorrow. So the disciple, it's understood, they should also accept spiritual children. So Srila Prabhupada is the guru of all of us, and in all forthcoming generations also. And then also Srila Bhakti Sthan Saraswati Thakur is our guru. Srila Gorki Jardas Babaji. So in this way, the parampara goes up to Krishna and extends in different branches throughout the universe. So how to please Srila Prabhupada, we should think. When he was asked, what pleases you the most? Srila Prabhupada replied, chant Hare Krishna. Simple thing. If we chant Hare Krishna, that pleases Srila Prabhupada. So we should chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada came to this world, and particularly came to the Western world, to bring something which was not there before. Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness, remembrance of Krishna, to always be aware of Krishna, that is invoked, fortified by the chanting of Hare Krishna. And when one is actually in love of Krishna, then what does he do? He chants Hare Krishna. Ivang Vrata Sapriya Namakya Chajata Anuraga Chitta Uchai Hazatati Rodati Gayati Unmadavan Rityati Lokabhaya Unmadavan. When one is actually in full love of God, what does he do? He chants Hare Krishna like a madman, not caring for others. So Srila Prabhupada said, what pleases you the most? Chant Hare Krishna. This was his reply. And he said, you're already doing that. So, in other words, he was very satisfied to see that many people who had previously no knowledge of Krishna and no access to Krishna were now chanting Hare Krishna. At another time when Srila Prabhupada was asked the same question, what pleases you the most, he replied, if you love Krishna. So that seems to be more of a challenge to us. To chant Hare Krishna is relatively easy. It's not easy for everyone. Of course, everyone who has a mouth, two lips, a tongue, a sound box, functional sound box in their throat and life in their body, it's not a difficult thing to do physically. But for some people, because of ego or because of unfamiliarity, they don't want to chant. So for some people it can be very difficult, not physically but psychologically, to chant. But at least persons who are somewhat open-minded, we can say, udaradhi, this term comes in the Vedic literature, udaradhi literally means broad-minded. And persons who are not envious, who are not inimical toward Krishna, they can chant Hare Krishna. But pure love of Krishna may seem very far away. বিষয় ছাড়িয়া কবি শুদ্ধ হবে মন, তবে হামে হেরব শ্রী বৃন্দাবন। Narottam Das says, when I give up all, just give up all material desires, and my mind is completely pure, then I shall be able to see Vrindavan. So that may seem a long, long way, but how to get there? Chant Hare Krishna. In the very beginning, even when one has no knowledge of what this is all about, as a child, or we go in the streets, and in the Western countries, people may not know what this is, but they join us in chanting with no knowledge. So from that's prior to the initial stage. If you, it's not even really in Krishna consciousness at all. But when one comes into Krishna consciousness, then chants Hare Krishna. And when one is in the perfectional states, chant Hare Krishna. There is chanting Hare Krishna in the stage of purification. And when one is fully pure, then one naturally desires to chant. So that will please Srila Prabhupada. If you want to please Srila Prabhupada, chant Hare Krishna. It's a simple formula. But we should also chant specifically with the intention of developing love of Krishna. Developing means uncovering, that is within everyone's heart, and becoming free from material desires and free from offenses. Niraparadhe nama loile pai prema dhan. How can one achieve love of Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the formula: if we take the holy name of Krishna without offenses. So that when Srila Prabhupada instructs us to chant Hare Krishna, we may chant at any stage, but real chanting is in the stage when we're not anymore making any offenses. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave another formula how to chant Hare Krishna in such a manner that we can attain pure love of Krishna very quickly. Harshe Prabhu kahe shuno shurup ram rai ki rupe nama loyale prema upajai. He's smilingly or laughingly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his two intimate associates, Surup Damodar and Ramarai, I will now tell you the manner of how to chant Hare Krishna so that Krishna prema, will arise in the heart. So what is the manner? What is it that one should sit with one's back very straight, or regulate the breathing so one breathes in one time and then three Hare Krishna mantras in breathing out? Nothing, no such thing. What is the answer? Anyone know? Does anyone know this? Trinada pisuni chena torori vasahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sarahari. Another well-known verse, easy to say, but it seems difficult for us to actually develop that. To think oneself more low than grass. To be more tolerant than a tree. You see the trees here, they have to stand up in the hot sun. We have some shade. But the trees have no shade. They give us shade. There's a whole description in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If they're cut, they don't protest. They give fruit, flowers, so many things. They just give. And they don't protest if even their life is taken for the service of others, for the tolerance of a tree. Ready to give respect to others, not interested in being respected oneself. In this state of mind, one can actually chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So, then why have a guru at all if you're just chanting Hare Krishna? Well, that is required to guide one on the path by which one can come to Niraparadha Nam, Shuddha Nam, the chanting of the holy names without offenses. that is required. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who quoted Haran Nama, Haran Nama, Haran Nama, Iva Kevalam Kalo Nastreva, Nastreva, Nastreva Gatiranyata. He preached this everywhere, here in South India, here in Kanchipuram also. He preached from Shastra that the holy name of Lord Hari, Krishna, is the only way, the only way, the only way. In this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve the desired goal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached this. He also told Srila Rupa Goswami all the rules and regulations to Rupa and Sanatan. He told them various rules and regulations for them to compile in books which are to be the guidelines for Vaishnavas. So holy name alone, this means that the holy name is the basic process. If one chants Hare Krishna day and night without doing anything else, that's only chanting Hare Krishna. But then if we stop to sleep and eat and various activities for bodily maintenance, we also may have social activities, particularly people who are working in jobs. So how to lead our life in such a way that will be conducive for the development of Krishna consciousness. What to do and what not to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave all these rules, beginning with Ado Gurvashraya. The first rule, one should take shelter of a spiritual master. Krishna Diksha, Shikshanu Dikshana. One should take instruction from, one should take initiation from Vishrambhena Guru Seva. One should serve with affection the Guru. This is the process by which we who are children in life become nourished, nurtured, and developed, just like the child is developed by the parents, and that then the child becomes suitable to nurture others. But in actual civilization, the children don't forget the parents or neglect them, nor do the parents forget the children. They look after the children, look after the parents in old age. Of course, the guru-disciple relationship is not exactly analogous, because the body of the guru may become old, but spiritually should always be accepted in a superior position. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that even if one becomes equal to the spiritual master in learning and realization, still he should accept a submissive position. And actually it's hoped that the disciples will become more than the guru. Of course, the disciples shouldn't think, I'm trying to become more than my guru. Srila Prabhupada does write in one purport that describing Nityananda Prabhu, who did more than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order in spreading Krishna consciousness to the most unlikely people, the very people in Bengal from whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least superficially, left, finding them to be too troublesome. So such people Nityananda Prabhu delivered. And describing this, Srila Prabhupada says that by the grace of Nityananda, one should do more than him. And actually Srila Prabhupada did so. He spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world by the grace of Lord Nityananda. So one should not think, let me try to outdo my guru, but one should think, let me try to serve him in the best possible way, and then if Krishna so desires, although the disciple can never outdo the guru, but still, in terms of service, it is seen that, for instance, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in terms of spreading Krishna consciousness, did more than his guru. And our own Srila Prabhupada did more than Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, we shouldn't put any mundane measurement or think that one is better than the other, but Krishna works through different people in different ways at different times. So every one of us should seriously endeavor to serve our guru in the best possible way by following in his footsteps. So thank you all for coming here. I need to remind you that although you're enthusiastic to praise me, and I should not discourage that, that will surely help you, in as much as I am properly situated in the parampara, then by your praising, this is our philosophy, our understanding, you should be benefited by doing so, but you should understand why. Why? Because I am coming in parampara, and the actual object, central object of worship is Krishna. Guru is to be glorified because he is worshipping Krishna and teaching others to do so. Shat karmana prano vipra mantra tantra visharadaha avaishnava guru nasyad vaishnava swapacha guruhu. One may be a brahmana, very expert in performing various ritualistic activities, chanting mantras and so on, but if he's not a Vaishnav, he's not fit to be a guru. And if one is a Vaishnav, even from the lowest social category, most sinful background, if he's actually a Vaishnav, then such a person is a guru. Srila Prabhupada, in 1975, was in Vrindavan on the day of his Vyasa Puja, that means the day after Janmashtami. He spoke on that day, he gave a lecture in Hindi, part of which I am reading in translation. Srila Prabhupada said, "My disciples have organized the Vyasa Puja today and they are worshipping. This does not mean aham guru upasana, that I have become God and I am getting them to worship me for showing off. This is not the case." So this is a very important thing to understand, because here in India especially, there are many gurus who are praised by their followers, but the praise goes as far as the guru and stops. It's not offered up to Krishna. And the disciples may even think that the guru is God. This will not help anyone. So this festival is not organized for me to try to impress upon you that I am God. There are gurus who say that or allow their disciples to say that. But this is worship of the guru as the medium through which worship to Krishna goes. Not that he tries, if he tries to digest it himself, he'll get a severe case of indigestion. One who accepts worship on his own account. So Srila Prabhupada continued, "The fact is, the scriptures say, yasya deve para bhaktir, yatha deve tatha gurau, tasyaite katita hyartha, prakashante mahatmana." To acquire this Vedic knowledge, there is only one solution, yasya deve para bhakti. To have unflinching faith in the Lord, transcendental, a prakriti faith. A prakriti means not of this world. And just like we have transcendental faith on the Lord, similarly, transcendental faith on the spiritual master. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru. This should be practiced, and to teach that, we have to sit down and be worshipped by them, and to teach them. This is correct. That is why the Vyasa Puja celebration is conducted. They also worship, and those who have faith in the Acharya, Acharya Upasanam. The Lord says in the scriptures that the Acharya should be worshipped. So, all of you have so kindly come here, thank you. This Krishna Consciousness Movement, we teach this all over the world. Vedic Pantha, Shruta Pantha, Shrutriya Brahmanishtam. That means the Vedic path, the path of hearing the Shruti, Vedic knowledge. Guru, his two basic qualifications. Shrutriya, one who has heard the Vedic knowledge. And Brahmanishta, who is fixed in that. To be firmly devoted to the Absolute Truth, one must accept the path of hearing from authorities, Shruta Pantha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, at the time of imparting knowledge to Rupa Goswami, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, through the spiritual master and Krishna, we get the seed of the creeper of devotional service. These are some thoughts. Therefore, it is the duty of the disciple to celebrate the appearance day of the spiritual master, Vyasa Puja. The spiritual master will teach. It does not mean that I am getting this worship done by them to increase my honor. This is or prestige. This is not the case. So Srila Prabhupada is iterating to the assembled people. He's speaking in Hindi, so that would be mostly for the local public in Vrindavan. At that time, most of Srila Prabhupada's disciples in India were from America and from various parts of the world. So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that he himself has taught them to do this. Everything Srila Prabhupada taught to his disciples, everything about Krishna consciousness. So he also taught them to perform Vyasa Puja. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining to the public in Vrindavan, why is he doing that? Not that he will be praised, that's not the purpose. But they can receive this knowledge, which is the Guru. The Guru is Guru because he gives Vedic knowledge. And what does the disciple have to do to receive that knowledge? The Guru is speaking, but not everyone will accept it. They have to become fully submissive to the Guru. They have to have firm faith in the Guru. So the Vyasa Puja ceremony, Srila Prabhupada explains, is organized with this aim in mind, to benefit the disciples. Srila Prabhupada continued, no, that's the end of that quote. Now I'm going to quote from one of Srila Prabhupada's purports in his Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. Srila Prabhupada writes, Canto 8, Chapter 15, Text 28, purport, by the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. Up to the present day, In India, people tend to have faith in gurus. That's diminishing now as one after another, various famous gurus are exposed for not actually being very spiritual people. But still that faith is there, because people believe that one can get extraordinary power by worshipping the guru. Now, Srila Prabhupada writes here, especially in spiritual advancement. Various gurus may be approached for various purposes. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam that the asuras, the demons, they got extraordinary power from their guru Shukracharya. For what? For military conquest. It's never expected that the demons, although they're always trying, they can conquer the Swarga, the heavenly planets. But they were able to do so because circumstantially Indra, the king of the demigods, was depleted in power by his own having insulted his guru. So he became depleted in power. And at the same time, the demons, they became most attentive in worshipping their guru and following his instructions. So this actually, guru means one who guides in spiritual advancement, but the term guru is also used more generally. So people have faith that if we worship a sadhu, we can get great benefit from them. But especially as stated here, especially for spiritual advancement. That is the real meaning of approaching a guru. Tasmat gurum prapadyate jignyasu shreya uttamam. One should therefore approach a guru and surrender to a guru and inquire about one's ultimate benefit. There's a similar verse in Bhagavatam. They both begin with the therefore word. Now, having seen how useless everything is in this world, one should approach a guru. So Srila Prabhupada says, by the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. So we're all getting extraordinary power. You may think, well, I don't think I've got extraordinary power, but it is extraordinary that we're chanting Hare Krishna. In this Kali Yuga, where everyone's character is declining generation by generation, people are getting worse. One of the symptoms that things are getting worse is that people often nowadays they hardly discriminate between good and bad. So anything's okay. As long as it doesn't do anyone any harm, then it's okay. That's the idea. There was this controversy about 3 years ago, was it, when the Supreme Court in India ruled that the live-in relationship, it doesn't do anyone any harm, so what's wrong with it? So this attitude comes from not understanding the ultimate purpose of life. So this philosophy is that, well, we can live like animals, and as long as it doesn't do any harm, then it's okay, it's all good. If you enjoy yourself, as long as you don't do harm to others. But by enjoying yourself, you are doing harm to yourself, and if you're a father or a mother, then you're doing harm to your children, because we're supposed to utilize this human life for God realization. So Srila Prabhupada, I'll continue this. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavors for such advancement. Yeah, so we are all getting extraordinary power. The very fact that we're here and we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're not engaging in sinful activities, that in itself is evidence that we're getting something. solid, something substantial. Otherwise, who will in this modern age will be interested in living a life of self-abnegation? Actually, our process is not self-abnegation. That means, for translators, that means vairagya, or actually more closely, tapasya, self-denial. Why should we do that when the whole thrust of modern life is enjoy, buy this, buy that, get something more, enjoy yourself as much as you can, as long as you can. But human life is meant for God realization. Nayang deho deha bhajang riloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam tapo devyam putraka yena sadvam yasmad shudyed brahma sokyam tvanantam. Yes. Human life is not meant for simply trying to enjoy ourselves, which, if we consider, even the pigs are doing. So it's not actually high civilization simply to try and enjoy our senses. In terms of sophistication, we're advanced, more advanced than the pigs, but in terms of consciousness or goal of life, we're on the same level as the pigs if we have no higher goal of life than sense gratification. So we should perform divine austerities by which we can become purified and attain eternal bliss. So this is the purpose of human life. We are all on this path that is extraordinary in the modern age. There's some very important words here. Srila Prabhupada writes, the blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. This is a classic quote from Srila Prabhupada in very simple English, which anyone with any slight grasp of the language can understand. He states a truth which is so vital for our understanding. If we can just understand this one line linguistically, we can very easily understand what it means. It's not a very abstruse philosophical point. It's very straightforward. But the import, if we take that into our consciousness, this Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kore Aika Ana Kore Homane Asha, this taking the words of the Guru, the instructions, as our life and soul, making them the only object of our life, not desiring anything else. So these instructions are there, that if we can somehow or other, if we can satisfy the spiritual master and get his blessings, that will be more conducive to our spiritual master than anything else we do on our own account. Now, that doesn't mean that we should stop chanting Hare Krishna and just try to, if we think that, well, Srila Prabhupada is pleased by book distribution, so let me do book distribution 24 hours a day till I drop dead, and then Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. No, Srila Prabhupada tells us to distribute books and to chant Hare Krishna also. So the point is that somehow or other, if we can please him, and remember that he's pleased by, what is Srila Prabhupada pleased by? If you love Krishna. So it seems to be a circle here. We want to get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada so that we can love Krishna. And how can we please Srila Prabhupada? If we love Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada explained, it's like a train running on two tracks. That's he used this in example for the Bhagavata Marg and the Pancharatrika Marg, and also the mercy of Guru and the mercy of Krishna. So we have to try to please the Guru. The Guru will be pleased. He engages us in Krishna's service. Narottam Das, quoting back to the quote from Srila Prabhupada, Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korea Oikya Arna Kori Hamane Asha. Especially for spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master. So there you are. How to please the spiritual master? Follow his orders. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada translated Guru as spiritual master. Master means the master, and we are the servant. We have to follow. By the parampara system, thus one can thus be endowed with the original spiritual power coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that power flows through, the power from Krishna. We do not desire to become powerful in the sense that materialistic people want to be powerful, to show themselves to be better than others and to dominate others. But we do desire to take power from the Supreme Lord so that we can overcome the material energy which is otherwise too powerful for us as very tiny living beings. We do not have the power to come out of this material energy. Durga, very difficult to go away from. But Krishna says, Devi yesha gunamai mamamaya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. This energy of mind consisting of three modes of nature is very difficult to overcome, Krishna says. But if one surrenders to me, he can cross over it. So this power, the power from Krishna to become free from the material energy, and we may also pray for the power to communicate this power to others. That what we have got from Krishna in parampara system, we should want to give that to others. So the parampara that can be the power of Krishna, Krishna Shakti, coming in the parampara, that can be compared to electricity, which can be communicated or sent, it's not communicated, it actually travels over long distances via copper wires or even better conductor, so we're told, is silver. It's more expensive. But copper electricity can travel through copper wires over long distances with no diminishment. There is very slight. But so that example is given. And actually, in one sense, so that's like that, the parampara. If the gurus in parampara, they give the message exactly, then we get the message exactly as it was spoken by Krishna. But actually, in one sense, our guru is giving to us the message of Krishna in a manner that is more appropriate for us than the way Krishna gave it. It's the same message, but the guru makes it available to us. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in the context of Arjuna's fighting. And that was later explained by various acharyas. They analyzed all the different points, the nishkam, karma, yoga, and so many points. Srila Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita in the Western world, where all these detailed points of Vedic philosophy were not understood, and actually very difficult to understand. One first of all has to understand the whole system of Varnashram, which is not applicable in the Western world. So Srila Prabhupada emphasized the essence, Krishna. He emphasized that, and of course this is the message of Shastra, that we should simply surrender to Krishna. So just as Krishna enlightened Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada, enlightened so many people in diverse circumstances. Arjuna was perplexed, thinking what is the right thing to do. Srila Prabhupada went among people who had no idea of right and wrong, or hardly even any idea of right and left. They were all intoxicated a lot of the time. And they weren't asking for spiritual knowledge, but Srila Prabhupada kindly delivered that. So we get the power from Krishna comes through in such a manner that Srila Prabhupada was able to deliver people who they weren't even looking or trying for self-realization. Maybe in some ways the hippies, but they were very misguided about that. Many of them thought that self-realization is available in the form of intoxication by psychotropic drugs, but the actual result of that was more degradation. So, Kali Kale Juga Dharma Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Ta Pravartan. In this Kali Yuga, the religious process for the age, in this very fallen age of Kali, is the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna, but one cannot establish that in the world unless one is especially favored with the shakti, with the energy of Krishna. So we see that undoubtedly Srila Prabhupada was imbued with extraordinary potency for delivering others and for giving the Hare Krishna mantra and for explaining the elevated Vedic philosophy, which traditionally is presented in Sanskrit, later was presented in Bengali, for instance, in Chaitanya Charitamrita and various other vernacular languages of India. Srila Prabhupada explained it in a language which doesn't have the inbuilt ability for explaining such things, because such concepts have never been known in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada gave that. And thus he can write, can take out all the knowledge of the Vedas and state it in such a simple and clear way. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that the original cause of offending the Lord and falling down from one's position is one's not learning how to properly worship a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to offer respectful obeisances and worship the bona fide spiritual master automatically offers proper worship to the Supreme Lord. That doesn't mean that one only worships the Guru and not the Supreme Lord, because the Guru teaches us to worship Krishna. So without the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master, even a it's quoting Vishwanath himself, in his Bhagavatam commentary. Without the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master, even a so-called religious man will gradually become atheistic, offend the Lord by foolish speculation, and fall into a hellish condition of life. So it's not only that by worship of the Guru one is elevated in spiritual life, but by failure to do so, even if one is superficially worshipping Krishna, or one is superficially religious, one will gradually become atheistic, make various speculations and offend the Lord and fall down. These are important instructions. So that's another reason why we have a guru. We may think, well, I can read all the books myself and get all the instruction myself. Well, of course, in the books it's stated to worship the Guru. And another point is that the Guru himself should have heard Shrotriyam, should have heard well and imbibed the teachings of Shastra, of Parampara from his guru, and present the essence of that. We find that the sages at Naimisharanya, they, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we find that they address Suta Goswami, that you have heard all these Shastras from great personalities. So please describe to us the essence of that. And then Suta Goswami explained the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the guru is supposed to hear well, absorb, and then select those parts which are especially meant for, which he perceives are especially useful for or meant for the disciples. If they have specific queries, should be able to answer them. That's one of the more detailed instructions given, that the guru should be able to to reply to the questions of the disciple, that the disciple is not disappointed for lack of knowledge. Of course, the question of the disciple, that should be pertinent and should be offered in the right attitude. There are many instances. In Mahabharata, the one disciple, he was just given menial service to do for years and years and years and years. He was never taught the Vedic knowledge. And then ultimately the sacrificial fires, they taught. So, just by his faith. Now, within our Vaishnava world, those who have come to Srila Prabhupada, there are many who will say that this ceremony today is improper, because only Srila Prabhupada should be accepted as a guru. He should be the guru for everyone in future. This Ritvikvad. And others, they also don't propound Ritvikism, but they demand the highest possible standard for a guru. And actually, if one wanted to find out the highest possible standard for a guru and was wanted to be sure that someone is a Paramahamsa in all respects, and applied a skeptical test, they'd probably find out that Prabhupada wasn't a Paramahamsa, because there were things that Srila Prabhupada did that were sometimes that were, you could say, unusual. If you look with a skeptical eye, you'll find something to find fault in. Now, that doesn't mean that my manifold faults put me in the same category of Prabhupada. I'm just saying that if you look for faults, you'll find them. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people found fault in. And to the present day, there are people who criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and criticize Krishna. The disciples are not supposed to see this, although some people will say, you should see it. Don't go there. Don't go to this Vyasa Puja celebration of Bhakti Vikaswam. You'll be cheated. So while admitting my manifold disqualifications, there is one qualification by which I am bold enough, daring enough, you might say foolish enough, to sit up here above all of you, who many of you, most of you, if not all of you, are performing devotional service in a manner that is at least equal to or better than what I'm doing. Who's to say? It may not be the big person sitting on a big seat who is pleasing Krishna more. It might be someone who's not even very well known. It's not by name or fame that one becomes pleasing to Krishna. Dhane jane panditye krishnere nahi pai. Keval bhakti bosh chaitanya gosha. It is not that by wealth or by becoming famous and having followers or becoming learned that one can attain Krishna. If one actually has pure devotion to Krishna, then that brings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under his control, under the control of love. So many of you, I see, are serving Krishna very sincerely, very purely. So what am I doing up here? why am I so bold to sit up here? And then that one thing, one qualification is there, and here I'll bring in one very important word. Maybe you're not very familiar with this word, but it's a very important word in our Gaudiya Vaishnava lexicon. The word is anugatya, which means, Srila Prabhupada often used this in English, following in the footsteps. Literally means to go behind, to follow. So because I am following or attempting to follow Srila Prabhupada, who is the follower of his guru, and so on, up to Krishna. This is my qualification for being here, and that is the qualification for you being here also. Otherwise, what are we doing here? This is not a mutual glorification club where I will come and glorify you, and you come and glorify me, like the Lions Club. I don't know if ever you went to any of their meetings. They all get in a circle, Rotary Club. They all go round and round and praise each other, and they take some satisfaction in that. But the because I am following Srila Prabhupada, or I have that idea in mind, and I'm very clear on this point, that without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, there's no meaning to my existence or your existence. We have to follow the instructions, follow the example of the great Paramahamsa Acharya. If my only qualification for sitting here is to tell you that. And you say, well, you told us that last year and the year before and the year before. Yes. And I will continue to do so as long as I'm in this body, and hopefully in future lives also. Because that is the essence of our spiritual life. We have to go to Krishna. We have to go. There's only possible for us by the mercy of the Vaishnavas in general, by the Guru in particular. And devotees will say, oh, why are you accepting so much worship, Srila Prabhupada? And why not worship Srila Prabhupada? And it is a fact, a self-evident fact, that Srila Prabhupada in the present age is the towering acharya in comparison with whom myself, and dare I say others also, are not on the same level of empowerment, illumination, but nevertheless, on his order, it is our duty to worship Srila Prabhupada and to direct others toward that service. And why Srila Prabhupada? Because he directs us toward Krishna. He has very powerfully done so. He has given his books, which are the guidance for all Vaishnavas in the world at the present time. Of course, we are sitting here in a major place of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Maybe in terms of the importance they give to places in this world, manifest in this world, then Sri Rangam is there, Tirupati is there, and probably Kanchi is number three in that regard. But this may be very controversial, But I would say, even for the Sri Vaishnava devotees, for them to understand and practice spiritual life very well in the modern age, and for them to serve Sri Ramanujacharya, better for them to study Srila Prabhupada's books, which give the clear understanding of spiritual life and spiritual knowledge, whereas for most people, whichever Vaishnava Sampradaya they may be in, it's very difficult, unless they study Sanskrit, it's very difficult for them to study, and even then all the philosophical points that are made, they're often quite arcane and difficult to understand. But Srila Prabhupada, his presentation is exactly suitable for people in the modern age, even in Bengal, in the Gauriya Math. Those who are interested in understanding spiritual philosophy, they mostly read Prabhupada's books and not Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's, because Saraswati Thakur's are very difficult to understand. Whereas Srila Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur, he, it seems almost deliberately, I've discussed this in the book Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, his use of language was something extraordinary. Most Bengalis, even if they're well educated, can't understand it. But Srila Prabhupada took a completely different approach in presenting the same knowledge and presented it so it's very straightforward, easy to understand. So this word, Anugatya, Gopir Anugatya, this term comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita just once or twice. It's taken as the essence by those who are on the raga marga. So we should emphasize, yes, here the attention is on myself, and I will emphasize to you that I'm here as a follower of Srila Prabhupada. You should also keep Srila Prabhupada in the center of your lives by reading his books and following his instructions. I see sometimes I go in the house of some devotees and they have pictures of their guru everywhere, and or a picture of their guru bigger than that of Srila Prabhupada. On the altar, it's very common, the picture of their initiating guru, the people in their home, the picture of their guru is bigger than that of Srila Prabhupada. But I'm very afraid of that. Please don't do that. If you are to worship me, and that is stated, we quoted Srila Prabhupada, Acharya Upasana. One is enjoined to worship the Acharya. So, as I have come in this position that you should worship me, and if I am to be a guru, I have to tell you to do that, because that's what's in Shastra, and I have to state what is in Shastra. But please, do so. You can keep, if you like, you can keep a photo of myself in your house, but keep a much bigger one of Srila Prabhupada. On your altar, keep a picture, keep it smaller than that of Srila Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas. But sometimes we have the, because in the home altars, it can't be very big, there's not much space, so they're very small pictures of Srila Prabhupada and the recent Acharyas. So then, if you have to keep a small picture of mine also, which is the same size, at least keep it below that of Srila Prabhupada. Because guru means heavy, but I don't want to, I can't bear the weight of being thought of as bigger than Srila Prabhupada. How can I be more heavy than he? Whatever heaviness is there, whatever weight, that means substantiality that comes from him. So don't try to make me dance on his head or think that even just by keeping the photo, you might think, well, it's we're just doing that. But there's a symbolism. There's a symbolism in that. That, and if as a guru I allow my disciples or encourage them or even just allow without saying anything that they shall keep big pictures of me and not of Srila Prabhupada, or small ones. So that's the symbolism is there that I think I've surpassed Srila Prabhupada, or that I should emphasize, allow my disciples to emphasize me more than him, and therefore, in simply by doing that, I lose all qualification to properly instruct you and to properly be a guru. I cannot ever be more of a guru than my guru. That's the simple principle of spiritual life. So we do emphasize Srila Prabhupada more than in our ISKCON, we emphasize Srila Prabhupada more than the previous acharyas, in the sense that we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we perform guru puja to him every day. But we should understand why we're doing this. Understand that Srila Prabhupada is the representative of all the previous acharyas. He sings himself about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Shri Shri Jagat Guru Jagate Madhyuru Krishna Bhakti De Thai Thai. He is that great guru of the whole universe who is in the whole world. He's a very great and powerful person because he distributes Krishna consciousness here and there, many places. So this more or less the same point I make, maybe in slightly different ways, every year. Because it's so easy to fall into a simplistic idea and not understand who I am, who you are, what is our sambandha gyan. Where do we fit in the universe? Well, we don't really fit anywhere in the universe. We're supposed to fit in the spiritual world. Where is our picture? Where do we come in the spiritual hierarchy? Srila Prabhupada in Japan, negotiating the cost of printing his books with Dai Nippon Company. After the executives left, they left their visiting cards on the table. And they left one junior executive to look after Srila Prabhupada and Brahmananda, who was accompanying him. So then Srila Prabhupada immediately started preaching to this young Japanese wannabe business executive. I don't know how you translate wannabe in Indian languages. So then Srila Prabhupada said to him, "What is your aim of life?" And in reply, the young businessman, he gathered all the cards on the table, put them in order with the company chief executive on top and his own at the bottom. And then pulled his card out and put his on top and said, "That is my aim of life." So our aim of life is to be on the bottom. And we are on the bottom. We shouldn't think that, "Well, actually, I'm very great, but I'm being humble." "Actually, I am very great, but now I'm a Vaishnav, so I'm humble." No, that's the wrong understanding. We are constitutionally insignificant. And if we understand that, that is the beginning of our spiritual life. Then we have to understand who is great. Krishna is great. Who else is great? Well, we may say that according to some systems of religion, Allahu Akbar, only Allah is great. And no one else should be worshipped. Even Muhammad should not be worshipped. Only Allah is to be worshipped. But the Vaishnav religion is that we worship Krishna, and Krishna himself says that his devotees are to be worshipped more. Madhbhakta puja bhyadika. While describing to Uddhava the whole system of worship in detail, Krishna says that whatever worship you do for me, you do for my devotee more. So we are insignificant. Krishna is very great. We have to link with Krishna via his representative. So Krishna says, you worship my devotee more. He doesn't say you not to worship me, but he says to worship my devotee more. So we should find out who is a devotee. Who is a devotee? Krishna tells Arjuna. Who says that he is my devotee? He is not my devotee. Who says that he is the devotee of my devotee? I will accept it. Of course, Krishna himself told Arjuna, you are my devotee. Krishna, you are my devotee. Therefore, I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita to you. So some devotees, they have a direct link. We are very small, insignificant jivas. We have to pick up our link with the devotees who manifest in this world for the service of bringing the fallen souls back to Krishna. Hare Krishna! I'll finish there for now. And hope to see you all again at 11 o'clock, it's supposed to be. 10:30 bhajans. I may come early because it's a tight schedule. So, all right. Everyone, please go and take prasadam to your full satisfaction or less. Usually we say or more, but better less if you want to stay awake. Some practical advice. I know you're all very tired, having traveled a long way, so I suggest, it's not an order, you won't go to hell if you don't follow this. Better eat lightly now, and then at midday, I'm sure the tradition of having a knockout feast every day of the Vyasa Pujas is being upheld this time also. So you can get completely knocked out at midday and take it easy for now. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.